You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, all about real estate with Ken and Jane. Today, Jane, we have our special guest, Jack Levitt, the president of the East Brunswick Education Foundation, known as the EBEF. The foundation is a voluntary organization that was established in 1993 that provides grants to the schools for the East Brunswick School District. And to date, almost $3 million of grant funds have been distributed. That's just an amazing feat. We know how real estate, home values, and schools go hand in hand, so nothing can be more important than education. So, Jack, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Ken. Good to see you, Jane.
It's good to see you.
It's awesome to see you, too. Yeah. Jack, so give the listeners some background info, how the foundation works, how it's set up, how it runs, how you raise all this fabulous money for the schools.
Sure. I have the best job in the world as the president of the East Brunswick Education Foundation. We do two things. We raise money and we give it away. The community is very generous in the way they support us. We have fundraisers throughout the year. We have sponsors throughout the year for our big events. And we have teachers and administrators who have creative ideas that allow them to ask us for money for things that aren't included in the school budget. So our motto is that we try to always find a way to yes. When somebody asks us for money, we try to find a way to give it to them, as opposed to other organizations that are grant awarding that have budgets and other kinds of constraints that have to say no pretty often. We pride ourselves on not saying no very much.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. So in terms of the money that's allocated, because like in East Brunswick, there's a bunch of elementary schools.
Eight elementary schools,
the junior high, the middle school, and the high school. So how is it determined? Do you give the funds to the board and the board appropriates it, or you decide how the money goes or where the money goes?
No. We decide it all. We are a separate entity from the Board of Education. We're a 501c3 corporation. And it depends on who asks for money. Any teacher, any administrator is allowed to ask for money at any time during the year. Elementary schools have a certain amount they can ask for. Upper schools have a different amount they can ask for. And twice a year, we give away big grants for up to $7,500 or more to any one requester. So we don't give the money to the board. We give the money. We actually purchase anything the teacher wants and have it delivered to their classroom within 2 days of approving the grant.
I remember back in the COVID just started, right? Suddenly East Brunswick closed down the school before the state shut down because there was a rumor a resident East Brunswick had a COVID, but turns out she is from East Brunswick, but she didn't live in East Brunswick that period. So nevertheless, the East Brunswick school decided to shut the school to protect our kids, which is I'm grateful. And immediately, I think the school changed to the online. Mm-hmm. And at that time, our organization be a great, great support and a driving force behind it to ensure the teacher have what they need to help our kids.
Yeah, we actually got together very quickly, and we decided that any teacher who is turning their home into a classroom may need supplies or other things. So we offered a grant for $300 to any teacher who asked for it. We gave away, I believe, 90 of those grants, close to $30,000 for teachers during COVID just to have a background screen or supplies so they could teach math and demonstrate on camera and things like that. They really rose to the occasion, and we were glad to be able to support them.
Yeah, that was a great effort, especially that was like a no prepared time, right? Just like at 3:30 in the afternoon, we got a voicemail and said the school closed tomorrow, and immediately they changed to the online mode. I think our organization did a great job.
It went smoothly. I mean, there was hardly any glitch whatsoever. It's like one day you're physically present in school, the next day they're switching to online, and it worked very, very well.
Yeah, we'll have to thank to the school and our organization and make it possible. Yeah.
No, the administration reacted really well.
Very quick. Yeah.
Everybody, I mean, given the circumstances, nothing's perfect, but they really were able to pivot very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And we're really blessed to have the foundation as a source of funds and grants for that extra, even though the school system does a phenomenal job just having that extra support by your foundation, it really makes a world of difference.
Yeah, I think our foundation support a lot of programs which is otherwise not funded by the taxpayer money.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the school budgets are set and, you know, they are constrained by, you know, different factors. Yeah. So anything that's outside the budget, we don't want teachers to say, wow, this would be a great idea, but I can't do it because I have no money. We provide that gap. And East Brunswick has such great teachers. They're always coming up with great ways to use technology or just different kinds of programming that make being in the classroom interesting.
Yeah, sometimes when we do the event, right, teachers come to our booth and thank the association and said because your donation, the association donation, they can make it a possible.
Foundation.
And especially last time, the German teacher came to our booth and said, you know, that's really great. Yeah, that's so good to see the hard work, you know, paid it off.
So, Jack, in your opinion, how can for parents listening from all of Central Jersey, if they want to improve the quality of the education system in their particular district, what would you recommend for how they can get involved or what they should do to, you know, to help bring up the education standards?
That's a great question. I think our district is great because there is a lot of parent involvement, whether it's at the local level in PTAs or with us at the foundation, or showing up at Board of Education meetings and expressing their concerns about what's going on so the board can react and take into consideration all the things that are going on in the community. Obviously, you have to get out there and vote and make sure you have the right Board of Education members because they're the ones who guide the decision-making in the schools. But the more engaged you can be in your child's education, the better it's going to be.
I have to say, Jack, I mean, under your leadership and all other top you know, executive in our board here, you did a great job. I have to say, right, the Education Foundation runs such a great example, right? And a Jack famous saying is, right, if you have a talent, donate your talent. You have a time, donate your time. You have a money, write a check.
Right.
So that's really...
So that's the way to get the whole community involved because you've got to have one of the three, or maybe you've got all of the three, but at least one of them you can donate time, talent, or...
Time, talent, or treasure.
Treasure, yeah. Right.
That's
or
right.
Treasury, right.
We'll take any of the keys.
Or any combination or all three. That would be great, yeah. Let's talk about some of the fundraising, like in the recent years. If you can recall, what some of the grants have gone to for some of the East Brunswick schools. I know we touched upon it a little bit, but if you want to expand on that,
I could think of some incredible grants that we've done. It's interesting because for a while we were seeing a lot of grants for technology because technology is such a big thing. I got some pictures yesterday of a classroom at our junior high school playing board games because the biology teacher found a board game on evolution and it depicted the process of evolution. So all the kids, there were 10 board games set up or however many there were, and kids are actually playing. It wasn't technology. It was the old-fashioned way of putting pieces on a board, which was it was amazing to me to see that. Last week, I had the opportunity to take part in this incredible grant. Two teachers, again, at our junior high school, found a story of a gentleman, I believe he was a newscaster down in the South, who found out he had MS. And he decided that he was going to do something good. And he created this program called the Butterfly Effect. He said his thought was, if you give a child some money to do something good, the impact will have multiplying effects. So they came to us right before the pandemic and said they want to try this. They want to give a $50 grant to students to go do something good. If they apply with a project they want to do, we would give them $50. And last year they did this, and I guess there were about 40 students, and the projects were amazing. This year they came back, advertised the same program, 100 students came back. We gave out $5,000 in gift cards last week for programs, for seniors, for homeless, for animals, for the community, just to do good and to try to make things better. So we're talking about 7th, 8th, and 9th graders who are going out there with the mindset that they want to make the world better. It was just incredible to be part of. And I have the privilege of being able to speak at their, end of project graduation ceremony or whatever you want to call it. So I'm really excited about that.
That's so great, you know. I mean, it takes a village to raise a child.
It does.
And that's really, I mean, each tongue, each community. I mean, I'm so glad that people, parents and residents get together and to bring up the youngsters, yeah. You know, helping them to develop, you know, the good character and the skills.
And instilling a sense of value of community service. I mean,
yes.
You can, it's one thing to educate bright and, you know, expose them and educate them and make them, you know, as, you know, expose them to all the educational materials, but when they can implement and do some community service, that's invaluable. I mean, and then when you take that and you multiply that with 100 students going out there and maybe going to an animal shelter or going to the homeless, helping the elderly or the senior homes and just all that community service, it just blends well for the future society, because that's what we need more of in this world with everything else going on. It's just wonderful to see the youth, the movement, the 6th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th graders getting involved in that. That just is such a positive thing for society.
And I have to say that I may be a little bit biased, but I believe that East Brunswick does an excellent job of this. Our motto is excellence in academics,
yes,
the arts and athletics. Mm-hmm. But they really work on building the entire student to get them ready to go out into the world. It's not that they're just trying to get somebody who's going to get straight A's and 1600s on their SATs. They're really building the best, well-rounded students to go out there and thrive. And I've seen it happen. I have two of them who are doing it right now.
Yeah, fantastic. I have a lot of clients, right? Their children, they not only do community work during the high school so they can write on the application. Mm-hmm. No. Even now, the adults, right, they still give back to the community. They still be a good citizen and do their best. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing to see that, you know, these kids become great adults.
Absolutely. Yeah. What's the upcoming events we have for the Education Foundation?
Yeah, so parents want to get involved, and listeners out there, we always can use more grants, more help, you know, one of those three things. So that's...
Well, our big event coming up is our Partner in Excellence Dinner, where we find partners in the community who have helped us to achieve our mission. And we have some awesome honorees this year. We have Doug Shorp, who is the president of Shorp Capital Management. He has been on our board. He's an alumnus of East Brunswick High School. He's one of our partners. We have Dr. Joyce Bowley, who's the assistant superintendent and has been by our side through her various roles in the district. Katie Matuszewski, who is the instructional coach over at Hammarskjöld Upper Elementary School. I have to get used to saying that.
Yeah. Oh, now it's changed.
she's done everything for us. We've asked her to help at every fundraiser, and she's been there, and she's thinking of new ones to do, including we're about to institute a 5K and fun run next year. So she's spearheading that for us. And Susan Mizrak, who's our recording secretary, fourth grade teacher at Warnsdorfer Elementary School, and just all around big cheerleader for the foundation. In addition, we induct members into the Alumni Hall of Fame at East Brunswick High School. And our inductee this year is the director of the DEA, Ann Milgram. We're really excited about having her. Graduate from East Brunswick High School, and now she is the DEA administrator appointed by the president.
Yeah. Wow, that's really great.
Yeah, I remember. I think last year you had a doctor who wrote the book about the COVID, and he was in the former administration. And
yes.
So you have a lot of prestigious people on that list. So it's very distinguished.
Yes. Yeah. And we find them all in East Brunswick High School yearbooks. It's amazing.
Right.
Scott Gottlieb was one of them.
Yeah, right. Dr. Gottlieb. Yeah, yeah. All right, all good stuff. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Attention all investors. A two-story fully leased medical building is for sale. Good cap rate with long-term stable tenants. Corner lot with approximately 30 car spots, located on Route 33 in Neptune, just one block away from the Jersey Shore University Medical Center. For more details, please call Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448.
Prime Real Estate, a standalone building with superior construction quality, a backup generator, and beautiful architectural design, is available for sale or for lease. Located in a highly visible location, directly off Route 33 in Hamilton Township, this location is zoned highway commercial, suitable for retail, medical, office, education, and so much more. To find out more, please call Ken at 908-337-9448. That's 908-337-9448. Impressive second-level office suite in excellent condition is available for lease. Approximately 2,400 square feet consists of private offices, conference rooms, and kitchen, and private restrooms. Perfect for attorneys, accountants, or any office professional use. Situated in prime location on Route 130 in the Lake Farrington Plaza Business Park, in close proximity to major highways including Route 1, the New Jersey Turnpike, and Route 287. For more information, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. You are listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, welcome back. We're joined today with Jack Levitt, the president of the East Brunswick Education Foundation. And Jack, besides running an excellent foundation, you also are a professional business coach. Please share with us what your profession consists of.
Sure. One reason I'm able to run the foundation is because I have a career that allows me the flexibility to be around during the day for when my kids were in school or to be at the different programs we're talking about. About 15 years ago, I went out on my own as a business coach and an executive coach, work with business owners and help them understand what it means to be an owner of a business. Very often, a business owner will buy themselves a job and they work very hard in the business, but they don't try to add value. The idea of having a business is to take something, add a lot of value to it, be able to step out of it and still have it be worth the same thing so somebody could buy it. But a lot of business owners build the business around themselves. So like a tent, if you pull out the pole, it collapses if they're not there. I coach them to be able to step out, build the infrastructure, build the team so they can step out. I also work with executives on building their leadership styles, helping them to present better. And my favorite thing to do is build powerful teams and organizations.
Wow, that's great. And what type of businesses? All different disciplines? It doesn't matter. It's more the approach than the technique you employ, whether they're an engineering firm or a law firm or a consulting company. You're just looking at their infrastructure and trying to make it more efficient, more, you know, just to increase the efficiency.
It's not about building the efficiency of their processes and things like that. It's really more about working with the leaders on their mindset. So when people ask me what kinds of businesses, my answer always is any business that has people in it. Every business plan is great until people come in and they bring their personalities, their dynamics, their previous experiences, and that causes all sorts of different interpersonal relationships. I help them work with them to optimize how they'll work in their business as opposed to be distractions from what it really means to be operating profitably.
That's very important because Les brought up a topic about the realtor, right? And you can be very good at what you do as a realtor, but if you may not be a good broker, you know what
right.
I mean?
Yes.
So you have to know your strength and weakness, but obviously by attending coaching, you can improve that. Because a lot of time, right, in our business, we see a lot of first-class agents, right? They get so busy with everything. I'm one of them. And a few years ago, right, we have our broker, Carl Sanfilippo, is excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, in the beginning, a few years ago, I was running around doing all the water reading, doing all the fire inspection. For the rentals, I do over 100 deals a year. So every day, I'm out about anywhere 15 to 18 hours on the road. So I was like sleep like 3 to 5 hours. I was really, really stressed out. And when I joined Remax, my boss said, Chang, why on earth are you doing the water reading?
Right.
What value you give to your client? I said, I'll make sure it's done. Have you heard about assistant? So that's really very important. What you said is vital for any business out there, regardless the industry. You need to learn that.
Right. I think that's very true because think about McDonald's or Five Guys. If the person that took the order cooked the burger and then packaged it, you have to delegate tasks for the business to grow and to be efficient. And I mean, that's a very simplistic example, but it's something that I just thought of while she was saying that. And it's very analogous with the real estate because instead of doing that, you could hire have an assistant do those tasks, and you could concentrate on more business and more revenue generating things as opposed to more administrative tasks.
Absolutely.
Right. I very often, if I'm working with a business owner who's very hands-on and in control, and I see them doing things like being the one to open the mail, I'll ask them the question, if you were to hire a secretary or an admin to do that, how much would you pay them an hour? And they would tell me how much they pay them. And I'd say, how much is your time worth an hour? And it's usually anywhere from 5 to 10 times that amount. And I say, then are you using your time effectively doing this task? And they just look at me and a light bulb goes off over their head. And they're like, wow, never realized that they were trading that time to do this versus something else. And those are the kinds of things I help them change their mindset about. That's a very simple one. That's an easy one.
Right, right.
A lot of them are much more complicated. And
sure.
I'm very much a people person, so it's fun for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And how you get people to relate. I mean, there's one school of thought that the workers you hire, you can't motivate somebody. They've got to have the motivation themselves. But you can create an environment to get the most out of the employees, to bring out the best in them, let's say. Not to use them, but to make them so it's harmonious. You want a harmonious organization because that'll work best. Those are the most successful ones, that where the company works together, there's motivation, there's harmony. And I think that's what you probably that's where it gets more complicated, but that's where you probably come in and you analyze the operations and try to see how you can, you know, improve the environment and make it a well-oiled machine.
Can you just look at the Education Foundation?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said you run that
right?
so successfully, and all the money that's been raised, and all the you know
the good deed,
good deeds
you know?
Created. So that's why I know your professional coaching service must have gives a lot of value to those companies that utilize it.
Thank you. I'm a big believer that the days of the boss being in charge and being powerful and saying, do this, and people just saying, okay, I'll do it, are over. People want to follow somebody they believe in. And for a business owner who creates a purpose and a mission that people can be inspired by, they want to follow. They don't have to, especially with the generation today, the millennials. If they don't feel purpose and fulfillment, they're out. They're looking for something that's going to make them feel fulfilled. So the leaders today need to learn to influence and get people to follow them.
Right, and they integrate more. It's more of an integration with the office. It used to be the old school, maybe 30, 40 years ago, the CEO and the executives would have their own wing with their big, you know, big expensive furniture. But now you take they have the more the Steve Jobs approach, the more the, you know, just the desk. It doesn't have to, it can be no frills. They want to feel like part of the community. They want the employees to feel like we're all rolling it together. It's a togetherness.
You know, that was a timing thing, you know. The big push in, you know, 2018, 2019 was open space. Yeah. So a lot of companies spent a lot of money to get rid of those offices and the walls and have the natural light and everybody out in the open. And then COVID hit. And then people sitting on top of each other, they had to put up plexiglass for a while. And it was crazy. Like all these design ideas, which were fantastic, went by the wayside for a while. And now we're in the hybrid environment where people don't feel they need to come to the office. And, you know, if we had 2 more hours, I'd get on a soapbox and talk about how I feel about that.
Right. Yeah, there is something to be said for people coming together. We are still a people society, and it's gone to the other extreme. And although Zoom and things like that are very useful, and technology is great, but there's still something to be said for togetherness. We want to, you know, whether it be worshiping or sports events or, you know, work, there's a sense people need to, you know, be with other people. You can't be in one place on a computer screen, even if it's not the same effect as being physically present with your coworkers.
It's not natural. Yeah. Only one person talking at a time. Everybody's so polite. You can't have a really healthy, constructive conversation when people are like that. And people can't just pop in and talk to each other. They have to make an appointment and make sure they're available on Zoom. And the spontaneity of being able to collaborate is gone, and it needs to come back.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Jack, if any of the listeners out there would like to get in touch with you for business consulting services, can you please share your contact info?
Sure. My business's name is Levitt Executive Advisors, and my email address is long, jack@levittexecutiveadvisors, O-R-S at the end. Also, just published a book with a partner of mine.
I was going to say, with all your free time president of the foundation and running your business, and just had a lot of free time. So let's talk about that next.
Sure. This is it's called Seed of the Fourth Power, Building a Powerful Team. And it's the story of a 4.5-year engagement I had with a partner of mine, taking a group of relative strangers in a Fortune 300 company and turning them into one of the most influential organizations because they were working as a powerful team together. And it shows the entire progression, and we build a model based on these four C's, which are conduct, how they conduct themselves, communication, change, how they deal with change, and how they champion each other. So those four C's coming together, and we talk about how these things grow over time, and it shows how the team becomes more collaborative and more powerful. And they were an enviable entity in the organization by the time we finished the engagement.
I like the title, C to the Fort. That's cool because each of those C's represents something that you focus on in the book, right?
Yes.
That's really...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How the listener can get a book?
The listener could get the book by going to Amazon and putting in the title or just putting in my name, Jack Levitt. Also on Barnes & Noble.
And you want to spell it. Levitt is spelled
L-E-V-I-T-T. Yes.
Yes. Okay,
thank you.
Cool.
And it's also available on Barnes & Noble and soon to be on audiobook because I am getting a lot of pressure from Jane.
Me.
And who's gonna read the audio? It might be yourself, yours truly, right?
It might be me if as long as people can tolerate this voice.
Your voice is good. I've listened to audios before, and you could definitely do
awesome.
It, I think. You have the intonation and the reflection. You got the voice to...
And, you know, the words in the book are, you know, mine, so I want to be the one to read them. I'm very proud of it.
I think that's the best because when you read it and, you know, the emotion and is in the book. That's what I like. I always, nowadays my eyes is like getting bad. I always buy the audiobook.
That's why Jane asked when the audiobook is going to be done because she won't. I said, let's go get the book. And she said, no, I'm going to wait for the audio. But I said, well, I'm switching to that now too. I was used to always want to read the paperback, but now the audio just becomes more convenient when you're traveling, when you're driving, you put it on the phone and you listen while you're driving or you're doing laundry, you're doing the dishes. You can use that time to, you know, listen to something very, you know, useful.
Now, it's the next thing on my list is to get the audiobook out. So stay tuned.
Yes.
All right. And once again, you can just give us the title and where to get it because we're almost out of time. So we're going
to see to the fourth power, building the powerful team.
Great title, great book.
So any businesses out there, that'll be beneficial. It'll show you how to implement the four C's for the more successful business.
I'm getting feedback already that people are using the things they read in the book, so I'm excited about that.
All right,
fantastic.
Great. Once again, Jack, thanks so much for being our special guest today, and we wish you all the best of luck with the book. We're excited to listen to the audio.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
It's been our pleasure.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
We're out of time. See everyone next week. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com. Or call 732-898-2266.